I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
When new houses are built, they'll have to be less drafty. I'm Jim Anderson. This week on Eye on Illinois, I interview David Whitmar, an architect who's an expert on energy efficiency. We'll talk about the new requirements for new homes in Illinois, what it takes to comply, and whether existing homes can be brought up to the new standard. Energy efficient homes, coming up on Eye on Illinois. Only for me.
Today, he woke you up at 3 a.m. to tell you he wants hot dogs for lunch. At 7, he showed you his artistic ways by wiping his breakfast all over your shirt. And by 9 this morning, you've changed his pants 3 times. But you wouldn't have it any other way. Because at noon, you'll watch him smile when you finally get his kite to fly. And when he wakes from his nap at 2 this afternoon, you'll see your mother in his eyes. And when you put him down for bed at 8 tonight, he'll yawn and sigh and you'll tell yourself, I've never loved anything more. Today's a good day. A day to invest in his future moments, both big and small. Visit brightstarttoday.com or talk to your financial advisor. Brightstart College Savings. Today's a good day.
Before investing in the plan, carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses associated with municipal fund securities. The program disclosure statement and participation agreement contain this and other information about the plan and may be obtained by visiting brightstarttoday.com or by calling 1-877-43-BRIGHT. Read them carefully before investing.
Seymour Signs here, and we have to talk. You see, my job is to remind everybody to be extra careful when driving through construction work zones. Problem is, some folks don't take me seriously. Here's the deal. Work zones are dangerous, even when workers aren't present. Talking on cell phones while driving in work zones is illegal, and over 90% of all work zone victims are motorists, just like you. Let's make zero fatalities a reality. Drive smart and embrace the orange.
Did you know that 1 in 8 Illinois residents has an asset to be claimed through the State Treasurer's iCash program? The iCash program reunites Illinois residents with their unclaimed money or assets. The state currently has $1.5 billion in cash plus contents from Illinois safe deposit boxes to be returned to Illinois residents. Discovering your money is easy, and you have nothing to lose by searching the iCash website. Just go to icash.illinois.gov and enter your name to search for cash. If it's a match, fill out and submit the online claim form. Visit icash.illinois.gov today to discover what's yours.
The state of Illinois has a new energy code that took effect this year regarding the construction of new houses. You're not affected if you're happy in your old house, although theoretically, when you want to sell it, you'll have a less energy-efficient house to sell than one that is constructed this year or later. What can you do? Our guest today has suggestions. He's David Whitmar, an architect in Buffalo Grove with the firm Groundwork Limited. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You specialize in energy efficiency, right?
Correct.
And is your work in energy efficiency, I understand, you know, a lot of this goes on with commercial and industrial buildings because they're large properties, and every nickel counts when it's multiplied over thousands of square feet. How much residential energy efficiency work is going on out there?
Well, with the new energy code, the state of Illinois is bringing the last piece of the puzzle into the equation, which is the houses. And even though a commercial building may be a lot bigger than a house, there are thousands more houses than there are commercial buildings in the state of Illinois. So the idea is that this is a huge part of the energy equation that has not been addressed.
But in terms of the work you do at your firm, I imagine a lot of it is commercial and industrial. And I wonder how much of it is residential.
Well, most of our work is in the residential sector. We do smaller commercial and smaller industrial type projects, but our main focus is on the houses.
And Illinois is up there when it comes to green buildings and LEED certification. Explain to the people what constitutes a green building and what's the LEED certification.
Well, green building has a lot of different interpretations. Some can say that it's energy efficient, some say that they're healthier, and different programs have different focuses on what they're trying to achieve. The green building movement always has a little bit of confusion, because when you say green, people think a lot of different things. The LEED certification is a generally done for commercial and large-scale buildings. And it's a rating system that improves resource efficiency, energy efficiency, and provides for the health of the occupant.
It's an acronym. Does it stand for something?
It stands for Leadership in Energy Efficient Design, something like that. I use it right. So infrequently. Everyone mentions LEED.
And what we're talking about here is, I'm gathering, consumption of natural gas, consumption of electricity, in their use for heating and cooling and lighting and so on, right?
Exactly. But also a healthier environment for the occupant. Because if you're exposed to off-gassing or bad ventilation, people in buildings aren't as healthy, and that's part of the equation when you're talking about LEED.
And the lighting is a funny thing, too, because it's not just a question of getting the most light you can for the least electricity. It's also a question of environmentally sound lighting. Once upon a time, any little fast food joint opened, and it was like the entire neighborhood was lit up like Times Square. Now there's an effort to keep the light from spilling into the environment. I wonder if that's part of this.
There are points for LEED that address lighting and spill-off and things like that, correct. But those type of requirements don't affect the houses, and they're not part of the Illinois Energy Code. The LEED certification is more of a requirement if in certain, a lot of schools are required to be LEED certified. A lot of government work is required to be LEED certified. Houses and smaller projects like that have no such requirement, and the new energy code doesn't say that you've got to meet those higher levels. What they're trying to do with the Illinois Energy Conservation Code is raise the baseline of new homes that are getting built.
Now, tell me about this new requirement. First, I've heard of it, and you call it the Energy Code. Is it a law, or is it an EPA regulation, or what? Or how did this come into effect? Who enforces this?
The state of Illinois, they have voted to adopt the 2012 International Energy Conservation Code. And they've made a couple modifications to it to soften it up, and so they've ended up calling it the Illinois Energy Conservation Code.
So this is by statute. This was adopted by the General Assembly.
This was adopted about 3 years ago. They had, ended up adopting the 2009 International Code. Now, as of January 1st of this year, they've just adopted the 2012 Code.
It was that one law that they passed that provided for the adoption of the 2012 requirements here now starting in 2013.
Correct. And these model codes get updated every 3 years, and part of the Illinois statute is that it will automatically update the Illinois code when the international code comes online. So we are going to be faced with an energy code update in 2015, 2018, 2021. So every 3 years we're going to get an update to this code. So that's part of the challenge with the home building industry is that up to now, everything's been built kind of how it's always been built. But this new 2012 code is now requiring that houses have a measurable level of airtightness, which basically means that the house is now being air sealed. There's still leaks in it, but they're making it tighter, and they're also requiring that a test be performed on the house to verify that that level of airtightness is met.
How do you measure airtightness?
They do it by what's called a blower door test. And what they do is they open the front door of your house and they put a sheet of plastic over it with a hole in it. They put a fan in that hole and they suck air out of the house. Then they measure the air pressure inside the house and the air pressure outside the house. And the difference between those pressures and combined with the speed of the fan tells them about how big of the combined air leakage in the house.
Yeah, so you should have a large variance if you want to be considered to be airtight. If there's no variance, it's because there's a lot of drafts in there.
Exactly. And just for illustrative purposes, the if let's say a four bedroom house, a 3,000 square foot two story house that your grandmother lives in,
a mansion.
These days, you know, an average house is probably somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 square feet. So 3,000 is a, you know, a four bedroom, a five bedroom house, two story. That's not an unusual size. But say it was built 20-30 years ago and is a leaky house. If you took all the openings and the leaks in the house that causes drafts and you put them all together, and this is what the blower door test measures, that the size of that opening would be about the size of a newspaper fully opened. So that's a pretty big hole in the size if you figured it, if you had it all in one place. But since it's spread out throughout the house, that's the amount of air leakage that you've got going on in a house.
And this is typically occurring around the doors and windows, or are there any other ways that the leakage occurs?
Well, around the doors and windows are main things, but where the wood frame of the house meets the concrete foundation, there are gaps there. There are gaps around vent pipes. If you've got soffits in your kitchen, there can be air movement between the stud cavities in your walls going up into the attic. So there's all sorts of little places that we've never had to worry about air tightness before, because we've always had plenty of energy, you know, whether it be fuel oil or natural gas, to heat our houses and compensate for all this heat that's being lost.
And now that we're worrying about air tightness, how does an architect or a builder go about resolving this problem? Because you say this house that you mentioned, built 30 years ago, has some of this problem. If you're building new today, how do you make this not happen?
There are new construction standards that we implement that are fairly simple and straightforward to do, but they're newer technologies, and there are things that people aren't used to doing. Part of it is a lot more caulk and sealant where windows are installed into the walls of the house, where doors are installed, where at all these different points where I've talked about. At the attic, we want to make sure that we seal that attic from the rest of the house. We want to make sure that we vent the attic. These are all building systems or methods of construction that have existed. But housing has always been, it's not been a very disciplined industry. And they haven't paid a lot of attention to sealing off all those cracks because it never mattered before. Now you're asking people to seal these things off, and it's a new thing for a lot of them.
These measures, they don't sound particularly expensive. I think when people hear the idea that, oh my God, new construction is going to have to meet this new energy code, it's going to add $10,000 to the price of a home, and this doesn't sound like $10,000 worth of work. I mean, you're talking about some extra caulk here.
That's exactly. But part of it is getting the builders and the contractors who are doing the work to actually pay attention to make sure that all the joints are sealed. Because if you imagine every single corner of a building or of a house, and think of, you know, you've got 2x4 studs at 24 inches on center or 16 inches spacing between all of them. If you think of all those little corners every place, they're all potentially places where leaks can occur. So that's a lot of caulk, and it's not so much the cost of the caulk, but it's the attention to the detail to make sure that the caulk is being put in the right place and the sequence of construction is done sufficiently to make sure that that the air leakage is met. And part of this is you've got the blower door test that you have to do, and it doesn't make sense to do this at the end when the house is all finished, because if you've got a problem, then it's difficult to go back and fix it. So now in the middle of the process, when the drywall of the ceiling is on, the entire house is framed, the exterior plywood or the sheathing that goes around the house is all in place, you do this blower door test, and at that point you can see if you have leaks, and then you can go back with caulk or spray foam and seal everything up, and then go in and finish off the house.
Ultimately, though, this is going to have to pass the inspection from the building inspector, the same kind of inspection before occupancy that makes sure that the plumbing and the electricity is done right and that the place is structurally sound, right?
Exactly. All that still stays in place. And the building inspector is there primarily for life safety issues, to make sure the house is constructed properly and that that in case of a fire, the egress pass and the windows are all meet the requirements to make sure that there's the ability for occupants to leave the house. They're primarily life safety. And now they're being asked to review and ensure compliance with a scientific aspect of the house, dealing with air pressures and airflow and things like that, and that's kind of difficult. Because the whole house is a system, and where the air barrier is isn't necessarily as clear as saying, I need this door to be 36 inches wide, is it? And you can have a tape measure and say, yes, that is 36 inches wide. But if you go in and say, well, is the air barrier continuous throughout the entire house? And is the air barrier a sheet of drywall? Is it a sheet of plywood? Is it a plastic barrier? Some of that's very vague. And the blower door helps address that issue. So for the most part, as far as the energy goes, the building inspectors are going to come in and they're going to look at the blower door, and also another test called a duct blaster test, which basically says how leaky is the HVAC ducts running throughout the house. Are those sealed properly? So they look at those two tests and say, okay, they meet the requirements of the code, and if they pass that, then that you can check off that box, and the house is good from that standpoint.
Are the building inspectors going to be able to handle this? And I ask that because you sit there in Buffalo Grove. Now, Buffalo Grove is a medium-sized town, and it's a place that has had over the last 20 or 25 years a lot of construction, and I suspect that the building inspector for the city of Buffalo Grove is probably up on the latest of everything. But if you've got a smaller town that hasn't seen a lot of development, and you've got a town of, I mean, there are towns of 1,500 people out there.
Correct.
That have a building inspector, and he's got to do, you know, one inspection a year, this may be someone who's not up on the latest on everything or might have difficulty doing something that involves a lot of technology.
Correct, and that's one of the problems that the state faces in terms of implementation and compliance. You mentioned, you're right on point with this. I live in a town where I've got a building department with inspectors. I'm working on another house out in a rural part of Illinois where there really isn't an inspector. There is, quote-unquote, an inspector, but the builder usually doesn't have him come out. The builder can pretty much build whatever he wants to build. And I had a client who came out there and said, you know, we're out over here. We're not going to be heating with natural gas. We've got to bring in propane, and propane is expensive, and we want the house to be as tight as possible. And the builder comes back and says, well, I see what you're asking me to do here, but you don't do it like that out here, and we're just going to do it the way we've been doing it. And that's part of the challenge. And it's these things aren't difficult to do. It's just a matter of getting people to do them.
David Whitmar is our guest. He's an architect in Buffalo Grove with the firm Groundwork, and we're talking about the new energy code that requires houses built this year and beyond to meet an energy standard. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the economics of this. It's going to save money over time, we're led to believe. David Whitmar is our guest. This is Ion Illinois. We'll be back in just a moment.
Choices made.
I've done it 100 times.
Right now, this very moment.
I wasn't that drunk.
Will decide the rest of your life.
I think about it every day.
With consequences that can never be reversed. If you drink and drive, you will lose your license. You will go to jail. Drive sober or get pulled over.
This message brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Traffic Safety.
You know, it sometimes means we don't get along.
Hey y'all, I'm Dirk Bentley. You know me as a country singer, but I'm also a longtime motorcycle rider. I take my safety very seriously, and you should too. So do what I do. Make sure you're properly trained, that you're wearing the right gear, and that your bike's in good riding condition. And always remember, don't drink and ride.
For more information, visit startseeingmotorcycles.org. Brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation, Division of Traffic Safety.
Are you bogged down with high monthly credit card payments? Did you know that if you have as little as $2,000 in credit card debt, there's a company that can actually help you reduce your monthly payments by as much as half? Credit Guard is a nonprofit company that has helped tens of thousands of Americans reduce their monthly payments by up to half. See how easy it is to qualify. Call Credit Guard for real help right now. 1-800-723-4586. That's 1-800-723-4586. That's 1-800-723-4586. Call right now.
Not another family vacation.
With our parents.
Yay, on Amtrak!
I can eat steak and potatoes in the dining car.
And I can stretch my legs out in the seat and plug in my computer.
They have the coolest views!
Shh!
We can't let them know we love Amtrak, even though we really do.
Great food, more leg room. Just a few more reasons transportation beats transportation any day.
Save 20% off regular adult fare on select Illinois routes for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. For tickets, log on to Amtrak.com.
Welcome back to Eye on Illinois. Our guest is David Whitmar, an architect with the firm Groundwork Limited, based in Buffalo Grove, talking about the new state requirement for energy efficiency with regard to new residential structures built this year and beyond. And the main thing is that these buildings, these new houses, have to reach a level of air tightness that they did not have to meet before. And you were describing that before the break, and you suggested that there is actually some sort of requirement regarding the mechanical equipment.
Well, there's actually not. This is an interesting thing about the way the energy code is written. The code requires that the houses be airtight, but there's no requirement for increased or more sophisticated mechanical systems. However, when a building is built tight, the only equipment that can function safely in a house like this is higher efficiency furnaces and water heaters. And what I mean by that is that your traditional furnaces and water heaters draw their combustion air from inside the house, which means that down in your basement where your water heater and your furnace is, when that flame is going inside the house, it's drawing inside air and exhausting it out through a metal flue. That air has to be replaced somehow. And when you're in a tight house, there's no air in to replace it. So what could happen is if you're using traditional equipment, the exhaust from those appliances may not be able to go up the chimney. They may stay in the house. That's carbon monoxide, and that's dangerous. It's real bad if you've got a house full of carbon monoxide. So even though the code doesn't specifically require it, by all practical measures, you need to provide a sealed combustion appliance for both the water heater and for the furnace.
How common are sealed combustion appliances? Because you'd figure if this is a new house, they're putting in the latest of everything, right?
Correct. The Department of Energy has mandated a code federally that the traditional furnaces can no longer be used in new construction after the middle of this year. So furnaces will automatically have to be high performance or high efficiency. And high efficiency furnaces have been around in common use for 15, 20 years. The only difference is that those furnaces were always a little bit of an upgrade. If you got a furnace, it was X number of dollars, and an upgrade to a high efficiency furnace may be another $1,000, say. But they've been available for a number of years, so they're very common, and it's not that big of a jump to go from a regular furnace to a high-efficiency furnace. The bigger cost item is the high-efficiency water heaters, because you can go to a big box store and get a water heater for $350, but to get a high-efficiency water heater installed could be upwards of $2,500,
$3,000. Huh, we just got one installed in our condo building, 12 units, $6,000.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's a beast.
Yeah. And when you've got a larger unit, it's going to be bigger, but the size of these units are comparable to the size of a regular unit. The only difference is that you don't have the metal pipe going up through the roof from it. You've got two PVC pipes that are going out the wall, or can also go up through the ceiling. And what happens is that it draws air from the outside of the house, brings it into the combustion chamber in the water heater, and then vents all the exhaust right back out to the outside. So all the air that it uses for the combustion is taken from the outside, and it doesn't mess with the air pressure inside the house at all. So it's a lot safer, but it adds cost to it. So when you look at the, and that's really where the big cost of going with these higher efficiency houses is. It's not so much the caulk and the testing, which can be under $1,000. It's more a matter of you've got more labor to make sure this stuff is done, and you've got higher level equipment that you've got in order to, that has to go in to make sure that the house is safe.
So what do you think it adds to the cost? $10,000?
No, I wouldn't think it would go that high. I mean, a lot of it depends on the size of the house that you've got. I mean, I think between $3,000 and $5,000 is a reasonable number. But the balance to this is that the house is more efficient. The energy that the house is going to consume is going to be a lot less. And so if you were able to save $50, $60, $100 on your energy bills every month, that's a lot of money over the course of the year. And if you were able to, say, take $60 a month and add it to your mortgage payment on the house, you'd be able to spend a lot more on your house and basically pay for the cost of this upgraded equipment and the upgraded house.
Have you run the numbers on this? How many years do you figure someone has to live in the house and enjoy the benefits of this energy efficiency in order to pay off the additional cost? Is it something that pays off in 5 years?
Well, there's a lot of people who run a lot more numbers than I do that have been running this a lot more than I have. And depending on who you talk to, people say if you work it into your mortgage, it doesn't cost any more. It actually saves money. And you've got some people who say it's going to be 27 years or more. It's the way I always approach it is a better performing building is going to use less energy. It's going to be more comfortable because the house is better built. It's, in addition to comfort, it's going to be healthier and quieter. The temperature in the rooms are going to be a lot more stable. So the quality level of the house is much higher.
Now, here's the thing, though. So new houses, now there's not a lot of new construction going on now, but at some point there are going to be new houses built, and the housing stock will consist of these more energy-efficient houses. Those of us who have older houses, we are not going to have this
right.
Unless we retrofit our houses.
Exactly.
And we're going to be dinged in terms of our market value when we go to sell, and I wonder how complex it is if we decide to retrofit, how much money we've got to have, and does the house have to be torn apart for months at a time? What's involved?
That's a big issue because, you know, a house for most people is a big investment, and you want to maintain that investment as best you can. And it's one thing to say, well, these houses are a little better right now, but in 3 years they're going to be 15% better, and in another 3 years they're going to be even better still. So as the years go by, existing houses are going to fall behind. It's not difficult to go back in and retrofit air sealing into existing houses. There are some areas that are easy to do. You can have someone go up in the attic and seal off all the leaks basically from your house up to the attic, and that will accomplish a lot. The main thing is that, and when people ask what's the first thing I should be doing, is that when it comes time for your furnace or water heater to be upgraded, you really need to upgrade it to a sealed combustion appliance, because that's really the safety issue that drives everything else. If you bring a company in to air seal your house, what they will do is they'll do a blower door test, and they're going to test your furnace and your water heater, and they will only make your house so tight, because if they make it too tight, then they risk causing problems with the exhaust from those two appliances.
All right. David Whitmar has been our guest, an architect in Buffalo Grove with the firm Groundwork Limited, talking about energy efficiency for residential construction and what those of us who are in older houses can do to keep up with the new houses that this year and beyond have to meet new energy efficiency requirements. David, thank you for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
This is Eye on Illinois, and this is the Illinois Radio Network.
today.